On this edition of Off Course Agility Podcast, which once again I'm recording in my camper, and if you hear noises behind me, it's my dog scratching at the bed again. What can I do? Anyway, I will be talking about day two of NADAC 2021 Championships. Now, if you heard my podcast about day one of the NADAC Championships, I had entitled that podcast, Let's Get the Party / Chaos Started. And I have mentioned it before that I am a software engineer, and my company is a bit loosey-goosey, but we follow something called the Agile Development Framework. And often in Agile, when you're training with it and stuff, people talk about kind of group dynamics and things. And there's a number of stages when a group comes together. And the first stage is forming. And for NADAC 2021 championships, the forming of the group would have been when people had entered championships. Those were all the people that were saying they're coming to championships. And then when the group comes together, it can be storming. And that's what it was yesterday. There was a bit of chaos, some snafus. Some of it was, you know, NADAC. Some of it was just everybody being new to all the new things that NADAC was trying. And then once you get past that storming stage, it's called norming. The group kind of starts to normalize. And that's what I would say day two was. I think everybody was getting used to it. They kind of got in the hang of getting in line when they knew they were. The announcers were announcing the rings better. They were kind of announcing both the pre-elite and the elite ring, which is a bit unusual from the past. I think maybe the announcers don't have all the information from the competitors and the handlers about their dogs. So I think maybe they're not doing as much as what they may have done in the past. But in a way, it's a benefit that they're announcing both pre-elite and elite because it helps the people throughout the facility know when they need to get there for their dog. Because, you know, as most people who do agility, you kind of pick a marker dog. And that first day, you kind of learned where your marker dog had to be, how many it was. So whatever a number of dogs you need for championships, maybe it was 10 dogs ahead that you needed. Okay, 10 dogs. When that dog, say, Jersey is running, I need to be getting my dog out, going outside and taking a quick peep if I need to. And, you're getting the dog to take a quick peep. And then start to make my way to the entrance so that I'm there to go into the chute at the proper time. So I really felt like everybody was like getting used to it a bit today. That was my observation. Some other things I'm going to comment on today, some of it goes back to yesterday. I'm going to talk a little bit about the courses. So yesterday, the first course, and these comments are based on me as being an observer there. The course maps for both pre-elite and the elite ring are posted on the NADAC site under the championships area. So if you're curious to know what the courses are that are being run, and you maybe you've caught a little on the live stream that Four-Legged Flicks does in the during the day, they have both the elite and the pre-elite that they're live streaming. I found that it's best to go to YouTube to do that and not their website. So you go to YouTube and you find Four-Legged Felix, and then you can pick either the elite or the pre-elite. In the morning, as I've mentioned, it starts with stakes, so you want to watch the elite ring in the very beginning of the day. And then after they do the stakes dogs, which are the distance dogs, then you can start to watch, after the first worker change, you can start to watch the pre-elite ring or you can continue to watch the Elite Ring. And if you're at home and you have good, really good bandwidth and you have two computers or two devices, you might be able to watch both at the same time. Certainly can't do that here. Anyway, as an observer, I'm going to comment about just the elite courses. Just the elite courses, because I've watched Bell the Beagle run them. And on Monday, the morning round, that course was designed by Aaron Vita, who's one of the judges here at championships. And as an observer, I kind of in my head was calling that the loopy doopy course, because the course, if you look at the course map and if you were watching it, the dogs came in and started and they kind of did a loop on the one side of the ring. Then the dog and the course went over to the other side. And before you went out of the ring, you kind of did another loop, a loopy doopy. And I mean, I know that at the elite level, at any trial when you're watching regular, there are some loops because you have to have more obstacles in elite. And going back from my memory of how championships has been, the courses are not super long. I think they may be distance-wise, maybe a bit longer course, but in obstacle length, number of obstacles, they are not especially long. They seem to be running in the 20s, the low 20 number of obstacles on the elite side. The course that was set for the first day, round two, I kind of labeled that course as an observer, the jump box, because the course led you into the back and there was a distance line, the bonus line for the course there. And it really was, you had to handle your dog through this box with a distance line a number of times. Now, I don't know if that distance line was always in effect for every jump or not. I didn't walk the course. I didn't get all the lowdown on that, and I didn't look at the map that carefully. But that's what I referred to. So from an observer, round two yesterday on day one in the afternoon, I called that course a jump box type course because you went to the back of the course and you kind of kept working the dog through a bunch of jumps. I think there may have been a few hoops, but mostly it was jumps. And sometimes the courses at championships have a theme, and I really haven't noticed necessarily a theme. I would say maybe there were more jumps on that course, but it wasn't necessarily a jumper's course. But some of you might think maybe that was jumper themed. Now today on day two, round three course, that also had I would call that a large looping course. I almost watching it, wasn't quite true, but it kind of felt like the dog was, if they were leaving lines after they ran, that it kind of made a heart shape almost. It wasn't a perfect heart, but hearts aren't really Valentine hearts. Hearts are kind of odd shaped. And I'm no doctor, but I know they don't look like a Valentine's Day heart. Anyway, but the course kind of did that. You kind of made a heart shape. That's what I call it. So it had this large loop. And the one feature that I noticed in that course that was kind of cool was you ended with feeding into a hoop that you had to wrap back to the A-frame, and then you had a tunnel on the way out. And when the dogs got that wrap and took, they were hauling usually, most of them, to get out of the course once they got that wrap around that hoop. The course this afternoon on day two, round four, I didn't exactly have a feel for that one in any regard. I will say I felt, as an observer and watching the dogs, and I don't watch all the dogs. Like sometimes I'm watching on the live stream from the stall. Sometimes I'm in there watching. I generally see the dogs before and after Bell the Beagle runs. And this course, I would say the afternoon round four course in Elite, I think it had the easiest bonus line. You came off the A-frame, and, you came off the dog walk, and you had to go over a jump, and that started a bonus line, and the dog had to then come over that jump and come back through a hoop, and you had to switch back into a tunnel and come back out of that tunnel, and then it went out. So the only thing that I really noticed with that course was that I felt it had one of the easiest bonus lines, and I don't mean to be derogatory, but Belle the Beagle got the bonus line, and she tends to be a Velcro dog, but my sister told me after she walked the course that she thought she would have a shot at it. And indeed, Belle the Beagle got it. She got the bonus line in round four. The funny thing, though, was even though she got the bonus, when she went into that tunnel, she hung in there for some unknown reason. And I'm thinking, Belle, you got to come out of that tunnel. And I know my sister's thinking, Belle, you got to get out of this tunnel. You're wasting time. And she did come out of the tunnel finally, but she was having a party in that tunnel. I don't know what she was doing in there, but it was must have been party time. And then that course also ended with a nice diagonal line with the weave poles to an exit tunnel. So when the dogs hit that, of course, you know, some dogs are good weavers and some aren't. But the dogs that have really good weaves, they would hit those weaves and then they would exit out to the tunnel. So that was really pretty good, good going. I hear your heavy breathing there, bud. I'm trying to record the podcast, Trace. Give me a second. Distractions in the camper. The other thing I'd mention about today was finally, and this goes along with the normalizing of the trial, the normalizing, NADAC put out the placements in the morning for the first round from the first day, which is a bit delayed, and I'm sure it's going to be much quicker going forward. And then in round, the afternoon round, they put out the placements for the second round from yesterday on day one. And this year, they're not having ribbons. They have, if you've ever gotten any recent NADAC awards, they're kind of like a ribbon with a medal, I would call it. Well, at championships, they're giving out this ribbon that goes down to an acrylic circle that indicates your placement in that round. So there's not like big rosette type ribbons. There are these ribbons that would go around your neck or around the neck.
Rounds.
And then there's these acrylic-looking lucite rounds that indicate your placement. And Belle happens to be in a grouping where as long as you do okay, placements go down to eighth place, and her grouping is only about eight dogs. So she's probably going to get one of these every time as long as she does pretty good. And she has done pretty good. She's pretty much had clean runs in all four rounds. I think she dropped a bar in one of them. I think it might have been the first day in the first round. She may have dropped a bar, which is amazing when you're a four-inch bar, but it happens. Even on four-inch height, it happens. So that was another good thing that happened today at day two. And that's why I said things were kind of getting normalized. Now, I would imagine that tomorrow, on Saturday morning, during round five, they probably will have the placements for round four. Well, no, it would be round three. They got to catch up still. They will have during round it would be round five, right? Yeah, it'll be round five in the morning, and they will probably have the placements for round three from today. And I would hope that they might get to round four also sometime midday. That would be my thinking if they're really getting normalized. And then when they get to the afternoon, when they run round six. Round five can at least be expected first thing tomorrow on Sunday morning. Or they might even get it out at the very end of tomorrow, but I don't know. I'm not really sure that I remember how that worked 2 years ago. And I'm just going to add one final thing. I know I had mentioned on one of the, I think it was the first, maybe it was the pre-trial day two podcast, I had talked about my question of the day where I was asking how, where people had come from. My question of the day, which I have outside the stall, but I haven't gotten any answers and I've kind of forgotten about it. So I don't know if I'll ever get I'll comment on my question today, but the question that's still outside the wall of my stall, I'm thinking back to when I used to go to the office and worked in a cubicle. The question that's still outside our stall is how many state raffle tickets are you planning to buy or have you bought? I may try to get some answers to that. I have some ideas to try to get voices because it is kind of hard to walk around and get voices on the podcast here at Champs. It's, you know, with the COVID and the masking and everybody's always busy getting their dog ready for whatever run. So I'd have to do it like at a time where I know, like in between the two runs from the morning to the afternoon, or there's usually in all these runs, they have one worker break where they also include a 20-minute break. The final last thing I want to say about Champs is that, and it goes along with the normalizing. Trace, please stop barking out the window at whatever you're barking. You're getting on the podcast. Is that yesterday, the first day, hey, enough. The first day of Champs ended about, it ended about after 6 o'clock, I'll say. It was after 6 o'clock. It might have even been towards 6:30 that the first championship day ended. Today, I think it ended around 5:45. So they definitely improved the speed of everybody, you know, running today. And they didn't have, like, a second briefing or comment thing. Chris Nelson just made some brief announcements after the first round. I think that probably does it. So if you're here in Springfield, Ohio, and since tomorrow is going to be a Saturday, it is possible you actually could be going a trial in your local community. I know trials do happen in other areas, even though it's championships week. Or maybe you're doing a videotaped run in your backyard or at your local agility club. I wish you happy trialing.